preschool enrollment is up to record highs, and states are spending more money on quality programs than ever before. But a new report finds there's a widening inequality gap depending on where young children live. One of the states that's a shining example is Alabama. Those are the children at Good Times Center YMCA of Greater Montgomery. Kerry Lee is lead pre-K teacher there.
You know, the state of Alabama doesn't get much recognition for education besides our football programs. We do football very well in the South. But for Alabama, our pre-K in the State Department of Early Childhood really has done a great job with this program. And it is one of the best things that Alabama is doing right now for our young children.
And joining us now to talk more about what Alabama's doing well to serve preschoolers and what other states are doing is Allison Friedman Krauss. She's an assistant research professor for the National Institute for Early Education Research. Allison, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me today.
So your new State of Preschool yearbook looks at the 2022-23 school year to determine how states are doing to support young children. And since we just heard from Alabama, tell us why it's one of the states that you wanted to highlight as a leader in this space.
Sure. Alabama is one of five states that meets all 10 of NEAR's quality standard benchmarks. Alabama has been the only state that has met all 10 of NEAR's quality standard benchmarks for 18 years. Alabama is a model in that it started as a small program with a strong focus on quality, and they've maintained that focus on quality as they've built that program up and expanded access to more and more four-year-olds.
And just to clarify there, NEAR is, of course, the National Institute for Early Education Research. We also heard from another pre-K teacher, Beryl Dudney, from Commodore John Rogers School in Baltimore, Maryland. She sent us a voice memo of her 4- and 5-year-olds recently working on their self-esteem.
What's our affirmation this week? I am brave for
trying. I am brave for trying.
What was last week's?
Oh, I think I need to say that every day myself. So states like Maryland are doing well with meeting benchmarks to support children in preschool. But your report found it could be doing more to support educators. In contrast, some states are not moving forward on preschool access or support at all. And we mentioned a widening inequality gap. Can you expand more on what states you're most concerned about and why?
Well, as we mentioned, we are seeing, well, many states are moving ahead and states are really have recovered from the pandemic at this point. This is leaving other states behind. There's 6 states right now that still don't have any state-funded preschool programs. That includes Indiana, Idaho, New Hampshire, Wyoming, South Dakota, and Montana. So children in those states don't have access to any state-funded preschool programs. Mm. There's other states, too, like Florida, that's serving a very large portion of their 4-year-olds. They are not really investing in quality. They're not putting the money behind it. Their per child spending is very low. They're making some progress in the last year to put in some quality improvement systems to hopefully maybe we'll see movement there. But Florida and Texas, two of the largest states serving the most children, are, you know, look pretty bad on the quality front.
So let's talk about quality because, you know, on the one hand, that could be very subjective. You know, one person's quality preschool and another parent or caregiver might never want to send their children there. You try to systematize through your benchmarks. What makes a quality preschool?
So NEAR has 10 benchmarks for what we call minimum quality. These are things, policies we want to see in place. And that if those policies are in place, there's a possibility that the program could be high. We still need to make sure the teachers are doing good things in the classrooms. But we think that these benchmarks are sort of like the baseline to make it happen. Having a teacher who's qualified to teach preschool with a bachelor's degree in early childhood education, supported by an assistant teacher with similar qualifications, with at least a child development associate, so that the teaching staff is a team. They're working together to co-teach and have a background in early childhood so they can provide developmentally appropriate experiences in the classroom, supporting the whole child, play-based learning. Mm. Also, keeping the class sizes small enough so that the teachers can do that.
You know, class size is a really interesting one. You know, I know my own children attended preschools here in California that had 30 kids in a state-funded preschool. And I think that really goes to something that many states are trying to reel in. Massachusetts, for example, is one of the states that's actively investing in early childhood education. It's enforcing low class sizes and developmental standards. But your report found it could do more to ensure teachers have specialized training. Our producer, Ashley Locke, recently visited Children's Friend Early Learning Center, a Seven Hills affiliate in Worcester, where she met a group of children ranging from almost 3 years old to 5 years old. Let's listen.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, wow. You're really fast.
So speaking of three-year-olds, your report finds states are investing in programs more and more for four-year-olds, specifically being the age right before kids might start school. But there's not so much support for three-year-olds. Why is it important to start earlier than four?
Every year of life matters, so 2 years of quality preschool can have larger impacts than one. We've seen only D.C. and Vermont can be considered truly universal for 3 and 4 year olds. Illinois, New Jersey, and Arkansas also have sort of equal access for 3 and 4 year olds. We see New Mexico is moving in this direction. Their new universal preschool initiative is for both 3 and 4 year olds. So 2 years of preschool can have larger impacts than one.
So, Alison, there's also a lot of kids who only get to attend preschool for a couple hours each day. I know here in California, many state preschools are only half day. What did you find on half day versus full day preschool?
We saw some great news on this front. So since 2010, the percentage of children in full-day preschool programs has increased from 40% to 70%. That's of the children who do attend preschool. In other work, we've seen a similar shift in Head Start enrollment as well from part-day programs to full-day programs. And this is really important, not just for the developmental benefits for children, but also to support the needs of working families. We hear a lot in the news about the need for childcare, but it's rarely mentioned that full-day preschool is quality childcare that supports both the children and the families. And when programs can also provide before and after care to extend the day further, that's even more support for working families.
I mean, it's always boggled my mind how a parent is supposed to work and drop their child off at 8 o'clock in the morning and be back to pick them up at 11:30.
Yeah, and some of the quote-unquote part-day programs, their state-funded preschool program is the morning, and then parents pay for the afternoon, but not always. Yeah.
I want to circle back to Carrie Lee, the pre-K teacher from Alabama, who brought up another point of context about how young children today are different than those she taught even 10 years ago.
This year, we have the COVID babies. They were born we have 4 and 5 years old. So they were born into the pandemic and the isolation. And there's some things that you can tell. So a lot of social emotional growth is going on in our classrooms this year.
I know you don't, Alison, focus necessarily on the pandemic in this report, but you told our producer, Ashley, that you personally have a COVID baby. You have a three-year-old. So I'm wondering how you're thinking about the unique challenges for this group of young children and their teachers.
I really do think this comes back to supporting teachers and having qualified teachers in the classrooms, teachers who understand the unique developmental needs of 3 and 4 year olds, how to support them social, emotionally, and academically or cognitively. But teachers also need support from coaches, from principals, from center directors, to be able to make those connections, to have time to really provide individualized attention to each child. So I've talked to people in Mississippi lately, which is another state that's really making some great progress in preschool, both increasing access over the last few years, but also really committed to supporting their workforce through coaching.
And you know, everything that you're talking about obviously costs money, and states are trying to help. They're making progress. But I'm wondering if there's a role or a bigger role here for the federal government to play in addressing the inequality that we see across states when it comes to preschool, both access and quality. Do you think that, are you hopeful maybe that one or the other, a Biden or a Trump administration going forward, would be effective partners in improving the preschool landscape across the country in the coming years?
I'd like to say I'm hopeful that it'll happen one day. We think the federal government does have a role to support equal access to quality preschool. We estimate that it's about $3 billion it would cost to serve all additional four-year-olds in high-quality full-day preschool. If the federal government could pitch in about $1.5 billion a year over the next 10 years, with states matching that, that could make a big dent and really help states come a long way and reduce the inequality that we're seeing in access to quality preschool.
Allison Friedman-Krauss is an assistant research professor for the National Institute for Early Education Research, and we'll post the new State of Preschool yearbook where you can look up how your state is doing. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.